My sisters and my brothers in Christ, will you pray with me? Gracious God, by the power of your word, you spoke the world into creation and us in it. Though you could have created us simply as disembodied spirits, it was your choice that we should experience the fullness of your creative love. And so it is that your word spoken forth took flesh in us. Good Father, help us to thank and praise you every day, even in the midst of infirmities, for our life in this body, the life that you created for time and in eternity will bring again in the resurrection to the fullness of life. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts this day, be holy and homemaking for us and for the salvaging of this world that you by your grace in Christ have already redeemed. Amen. In 1988, the late Wayne Dyer, motivational writer and speaker, was hired by Volkswagen to write a letter to the next generation. That's what they called it. A letter to the next generation, in which he posed this question. Can you see yourselves, he asked, can you see yourselves as spiritual beings having a human experience, rather than as human beings having a spiritual experience? In 1989, on the back cover of one of his books, he stated the idea more directly. You are not, he said, a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. Let me say that again so that you can grasp what it is he's saying and the distinction that he is making. You are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. This statement has become universal in the popular metaphysically oriented churches and spiritual associations for our day. No doubt you have heard it yourselves. There is something appealing about it, as it seems to indicate that you have a life apart from the wounds and disappointments and disasters and even death associated with this world. You are spiritual beings simply having a human experience. Although I have no problem attesting to ourselves as ensouled beings, I do have a significant disagreement with the idea that we are most truly spiritual beings to which our humanity is but an appendage, an add-on, a bit of an anchor. This is a false anthropology, a false idea of what it means to be human. Further, it invokes the idea that our bodies are something to be escaped, a prison house of the soul. It's not orthodox, it's Gnostic. And it leads to the idea that if we could just master enough spiritual information, we could rise above our humanity and be done with it. It also suggests, in its own way, that since spirit is what is important, we can easily ignore, overlook the suffering of humanity. And further, it's contrary to the incarnation, that testimony of John that God, our Creator, who is pure spirit, intentionally became flesh to redeem us in our bodies and in his resurrection to new life from the dead, brings us whole with him into continued life with God for eternity. Paul doesn't know for sure what it's going to look like, but he certainly bears witness to the resurrection that is to come. If that were not the case, why would we confess with St. Paul and in the Apostles and the Nicene Creed that we believe, quote, in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting? Our faith confesses neither Gnosticism nor nihilism. Rather, we are realists. The body is not a phantom. The body is energy expressed in genetically encoded complexity, extending from and maintained by and in God. Let me say that again. The body is not a phantom, but energy expressed in genetically encoded complexity, extending from and maintained by and in God, in whom we live and move and have our being, as Paul said in the Areopagus. We are his creatures, his creation, human beings, each one of us a distinct and unique expression of the verb to be, be-e-ing, that is rooted in the primal verb, the primal be-e-ing, who incarnates himself for our redemption, and in the anointed eternal Son manifested in and as Jesus of Nazareth. As human beings, we live in a world both beautiful and broken. Who for us men, us women, all of us, who for us and for our salvation, our salvaging, came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became human. These are the words we use to express the extent of God's love as attested to in 1 John, to be our atoning sacrifice about which he gives us the sacrament of the altar to sustain us in our broken condition and assure us of his boundless grace and empathic compassion. So it is that John bears witness. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the one making the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Indeed, we are human beings, and in our spiritual longings for connection, God makes himself known in earthly physical form, water splashed, bread broken, wine poured out, community embraced. In my psychotherapy practice office hangs this cross. It was given to me by a retired social worker who experienced a very difficult accident, automobile accident, that rendered her unable to keep up her private practice. It looks like nothing but bits of mottled metal affixed to something close to an equilateral cross. But if you look closely, there are bits and pieces of the human body everywhere. Hands and arms and legs, noses and ears and eyes and feet, hearts as well. It's a tradition in some Latin-influenced countries to go into a church and tack a symbol of whatever ails the ones that you love to a santos, the statue of a saint, to the cross, to the crucifix, that it can be a token of the prayer that you offer in that place. And in the very center of all of these broken parts, there is the corpus, the body of Christ, broken in the midst of our brokenness. That's the message of the incarnation. God does not spiritually hover someplace out over and above us, but meets us, his beloved, meets us in the state of our own brokenness, not to condemn us, but to join us in the midst of us with the promise of his love. And that is the power of the resurrection and life everlasting. He is not there to condemn us, but to meet us where we are in time and in space. And not only for us, John reminds us, but for the whole weeping world. If you want to be truly spiritual, practice being really in your body. Be awake to what's going on in you and around you and between you and anyone else at any time. If you want to be truly spiritual, be concerned for the well-being of the bodies of those around you, near and far. If you want to be truly spiritual, tune into your body with thanksgiving. Listen to your body's messages. Be curious, thoughtful, that is, full of thought. Let the light of honest and reverent examination illuminate your relationship with God and yourselves and others. Let it illuminate, bring to light possibilities for new life for all people. That's what enlightenment is. That's the unfolding of the Easter mystery. Christ in you, for you, for the sake of the whole world. In the name of Jesus. Amen.